Okay, that sounds good. But we are a junior. I am a junior. Hey, good morning. It's a beautiful day out there. Day that the Lord has made. Salem Kerbin wrote this just after World War II. East Berlin is communist controlled. West Berlin is free. Some people in East Berlin one day took a truckload of garbage and dumped it on the West Berlin side. The people of West Berlin could have done the same thing, but instead, they took a truckload of canned goods, bread and milk, and neatly stacked it on the East Berlin side. On the top of the stack, they placed the sign, "Each gives what he has." This world has absolutely nothing to offer but gilded garbage. Anything Satan offers only makes that garbage pile higher. Its food is putrid, rotten, and a stench to God's nostrils. And yet, the world clamors for it. Lost people want to wallow in the filth. They seek after the filth. They want more filth, and they eat and drink up the filth, wondering why Christians refuse to partake in the worldly sinful delights that they think they are enjoying. On the other hand, faithful Christians have the bread of life and living water and offers it to a starving and thirsty world. It is glorious, beautiful, eternal, and 100% fully satisfying. But unlike the Germans, the world puts more value on their garbage pile than they do the living water and the bread of life. We have the eternal cure for the cancer of sin. How could we show the love of Christ if we refuse to show that cure to a lost and dying world? As Christ died for us, as we have his mind and are his joint heir, we are to bring his glory to the garbage pile that is the world. We stack the bread of life and living water, and we put on top of that, we give what we have. We pray they will see it and join us at his table. Now we are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let me see a hand of those who are saved here today. Who's saved? Every one of you, by that testimony, have your reservation. You have a seat at the table. But with that seat at the table, we look around and we see there are many more seats. And God has compelled us to go into the highways and hedges to fill those seats. Let us show the world his great bread of life and his pure living water. As we do so, as we offer him seats at that great marriage supper, they may mock us. They may even attack us. How should we respond? Seeing that we offer much and they refuse us any kind of respect and even attack us, why should we even bother? Well, let's answer that question and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and read the first 11 verses. So 1 Peter chapter 4, reading from verses 1 through 11. Forasmuch then, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them that do the same. Excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your glorious word, we realize just what we have. We realize the great gift that you have given us, the bread of life, the living water, making it so that we will hunger and thirst no more except after righteousness, except after following you, except after your truth. Lord, we have no need of this world anymore. All we do is we pass through as pilgrims. We seek a higher place, a heavenly place, a better country. And Lord, we know the stench of this world. We know the garbage pile that this world is. And we have been redeemed off of it by your love and your grace. But Lord, we see a lost and dying world, still wallowing in the filth, still wallowing in the death and despair that is this world. Lord, let us have compassion for them. Let us have that fervent charity you talk about. Let us go out and compel those in the highways and hedges to come in to your marriage supper. Let us compel them to take a seat where you will gloriously accept them. And let us then have the reward knowing that our labors are not in vain. Let us open up your word, Lord, and let us learn how exactly to do it and see the sacrifice you made for us and the very little that you ask of us in return. We ask all this in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. All through 1 Peter, we look at the difficulty of being a priest under our high priest, Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered as our high priest. Jesus went to the cross as our high priest. Jesus did so much for us. Should we, as lesser priests, not expect the same? You think that we are exempt from suffering when our King suffered so much for us? We have been given the mind of Christ. We have, with that mind of Christ, the same willingness to go and reach the lost to make them saved. We have the same desire to see all men saved, willing to suffer as he suffers. Praise God, as we suffer with him, Romans 8:17 says, we will be glorified with him. There is nothing in this world that can compare to the glories in the future that we will see. Read the end of Romans chapter 8 and you'll see exactly that. Alive with Christ, we are dead to sin. As Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Abiding in him, he abides in us. As he abides in us, he gives us the strength to do what he calls us to do. He empowers us to do exactly his will. Knowing his will, knowing that he saved us, we then present that truth to others. We bring the bread of life to others. We bring the living waters of others. We try to compel them to try it. They don't want to. They're comfortable with their garbage pile. But doing so, some will change. Some will accept. Some will take those seats that he's bid us to go do. And then we're doing that, we see that our labor's not in vain. We see that we produce fruit for his glory. We see those seats filled by our labors, recognizing that they will be friends of ours forevermore as we pulled them off of that garbage pile and brought them to Jesus Christ, that he could then gloriously save them and convert their hearts. We leave behind the sins of our flesh, and we focus on the Spirit. Having joy in his glory, we are able then to live holy lives for him. Now, it is God's will, we've seen all over the place, that all men be saved. As a priest, he sacrificed himself for me on the cross. He sacrificed his life for me on the cross, my Creator, my God. Is it any wonder he asked me to do the same for others? Is it any wonder that as he gives me the mind of Christ, I should have that same fervent charity for others? Is it any wonder that I am to sacrifice everything I have to see others compelled to come to that table? As we have put down the lust of the flesh and fellowship of the world, we do not live for the lust of the flesh, because we must redeem the time, as Ephesians 5:16 says, the days are evil. The garbage pile of the world is killing men. Now, Cam studies a lot about nutrition, about all the things going on in the world where their foods are not that healthy anymore. Believe me, they don't kill you near as much as the garbage pile of the world does, what the world imbibes in. That sin is pure death. Only the bread of life and living water will bring life to the people stuck in that garbage pile. The time is short. The time is difficult. Are we so cruel as to withhold the cure and wait for our own redemption, not caring about those lost on the top of that garbage pile? Well, to compel others to come to the feast, we have to have three things. We have to have a testimony, first of all. Then we have to have charity. And without those, and with those, we have to have truth. So, a testimony. As priests, we look at our past lives. We see that those past lives did not satisfy. We have the mind of Christ now. Dead to sin, we have the mind of Christ, but the world thinks we've lost our mind. They're not 100% wrong. We've lost the mind of sin. We've lost the mind of the flesh. We now have a renewed mind of Christ. We've lost the mind of hopelessness. We have a hope. We know he's returning. And when he returns, we'll be glorified with him. The world seeks to satisfy themselves in the garbage pile, imbibing in the sex, drugs, rock and roll that the world does. And they can't understand why you don't roll around with them anymore. You used to be there with them. Why is it you've left? They don't understand the pure joy you have leaving that garbage pile behind. You must be a hypocrite. You think you're holier than thou. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with life? You were here. You enjoyed it. I saw you laugh and smile with me before. Why aren't you here now? They don't understand because they don't have the mind of Christ. They have not taken the living water yet. Now, we do have the wisdom of God. We look at our future. We look at the Bible. We see the Bible being played out right in front of our eyes. We show it to them, and we cannot understand why they don't see it. Have you ever had that doubt? Have you ever tried to figure out what it is that people don't see? Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Verse 15 adds, from 1 Corinthians there, that the spiritual is judged of no man. We have escaped the judgment we know awaits the spiritually dead, which is why we seek to make them alive. Because we know it's coming. We know that we deserved it. We know we've been saved out of that garbage pile, and we have eternal life, and we don't want to see them suffer the same thing. Do they think evil of us? We are eternal-minded, and we focus on Jesus, not caring about them. We want to draw all men to him. If they do not hear, they will give an account to Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and dead. Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." As spiritually dead men, they are judged in the flesh. It is God's will for all men to be saved. Let us, by our testimonies, draw them to Jesus Christ as they are confused by us, as they are confused as we smile through all the problems, as they see our joy. Let us use that to draw men to Jesus Christ that they may meet them, and that by accepting the living water and the bread of life, Jesus Christ may gloriously convert their hearts. Now, why does the world look at the garbage pile? It's because that's all they know. They were born there. They were raised there. They seek fleshly comforts there, and they do not know any other way. Guess what? You were there too. Guess what? You live there. You had the same problems. But now you are alive, and you're made to smell the stench of the world as you enjoy the pure bread of life and living water. The world's nose blind. You seen those commercials where they've grown nose blind to certain things? The world's nose blind to the stench that's in God's nostrils. They continue in the cesspool of sex, drugs, and rock and roll because that's all they know. And they not only do they not only is that all they know, they think it's strange that you don't. Don't be angry back when they're angry with you, but lead them to Jesus, who will judge the quick and the dead. Be a constant testimony. It's probably not going to change overnight. They think it's weird. Well, they're going to follow you, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to mock you, and they're going to complain. They may even attack you. But after a while, this guy doesn't change. He's got something. I don't understand it. And then that is when they may come off that garbage pile and see what that pure water is. Now, Paul understood this ignorance, and he said in 1 Corinthians 15:32, "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts in Ephesus, what advantage is me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Paul understood the ignorance of those dead in their sin, which is why the gospel is preached to the dead, that they might be made alive. John 5:24 says, "If hearing his word and believing on Jesus, he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from life from death unto life." How do they hear without a preacher? Who's the preacher? Every one of you is the preacher. Every one of you, by your testimony, make people look at you. And then you give the gospel to them, that Jesus may then use those words which will not return void, and convert the heart. God judged the dead in the flesh. Preach to the dead that they might be alive by righteousness. The judge will then become the Heavenly Father, pardoning our death sentence for sin and adopting us into eternal life. Your testimony will do it. If you don't have a good testimony, they're not going to listen to you. That good testimony is nothing without charity. In these end times, we are to be sober, watch, and pray. Sober, serious about our spiritual job, not taking it lightly. It's the most important job in all eternity. Watching for His return and opportunities to glorify Him, and praying for wisdom and guidance, redeeming the time because the days truly are evil. With this understanding, we must have fervent charity one to another, both in and out of the church. If the world doesn't see fervent charity within the church, if the world doesn't see this body unified, helping each other, lifting each other up, they're not going to believe it when you try to show it outside the world. They'll look at you as hypocrites. They'll look at you two-faced. We have to show fervent charity first in the church that we then can take it outside the church. Now, fervent is to stretch out in the Greek, meaning to strain to the utmost degree as in an athletic contest. You look at the Olympics. They have put their whole lives into training for some Olympic contest. And you see them straining, using everything they possibly have to make sure that they can win that gold medal. That's a picture of fervent here that we're supposed to have. Fervent charity. Now, charity is agape love. A lot of moderns says, what's wrong? It should be love. No, charity is actually the proper word here. Charity is taking the love of Jesus, showing it to each other, and putting shoe leather to that love. You know, if I say I love my wife, it's a true statement. But if I don't show that love, she doesn't feel it. If I don't show that love, she may come to doubt it. I have to show that love for them to believe it. Charity with others is showing Christian love to others, even if they don't deserve it, because you didn't deserve it when it came to you. Jesus said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He loved us with fervent agape charity. The natural world cannot do that. Agape love is the love of Jesus Christ. The natural world doesn't have Jesus Christ. They don't have agape love. Since they don't have agape love, they don't understand agape love, and they will attack agape love. I mean, once again, you've heard me say it many times. When I was growing up, BTO, Bachman Turner Overdrive, had their theme song, Looking Out for Number One. That's what the world understands. We're not to look out for number one. We're to look out for each other. The world doesn't understand that, and they'll mock it. But if we continue to show it, they'll start accepting it. And they'll come to you if they need help, because everyone else will refuse to do so. The world wants to escape the reality of this fallen world of sin. Now, every one of us have been designed to worship God. Every one of us has a God-shaped hole, and we don't want to put him there because we want to be our own God. So they work to fill that God-shaped hole in their life with sex, drugs, rock and roll, pagan religions, anything they can to take their mind off the true and living God. We don't want to escape. I don't want to escape at all. What I want to do, what I fervently, truly want to do, I want to take that God-shaped hole, and I want to fill it with, what do you think? God. Filled with God, He gives you an abundant life. He gives you His ability. He gives you His grace. He gives you the strength to do exactly what He tells you to do, and He rewards you for doing it. Talk about an easy decision to make, but the world can't understand that because they don't have that mind of Christ. We trade the world's misery for Jesus' joy, knowing that we have the hope of eternal life. Now, we do see in these verses that charity will cover the multitude of sin. One of the most misconstrued verses in the Bible in the modern church. It doesn't mean overlooking their sin. It doesn't mean accepting their sin. It doesn't mean saying, well, you have your sins, I have my sins. Charity covers a multitude of sin. What it means is, if you get that person saved, they're covered forever by the blood of Christ. If you show that charity and they're saved, those sins are wiped away free and clear forever. My sins are. I never sin anymore, right, Mayor? Can't get her to lie at all. My sins are covered by the blood of Christ. I've been forgiven. So charity will cover a multitude of sin. It doesn't excuse people and allow them to bring their garbage pile into the church. It protects the bread of life and living water by keeping out the rotten stench. We see them saved, raised in newness life, and build them up for a future joy serving in holiness. As Jesus has forgotten our past sins, we are to do the same thing for others. We don't bring up past lives. Have they been saved? Praise God. Let's build them up and let them serve from now on, then on. It also means overlooking annoyances. You know, I annoy every one of you sometimes. Guess what? Sometimes you annoy me, believe it or not. We're to overlook those things because we realize that Jesus Christ has a purpose for every one of us in this church. Jesus Christ has a reason for bringing this up. And sometimes those little annoyances are because I'm not looking at it 100% right. Guess what? You aren't either. But by coming together with that, looking at it, we can come up to a perfect rendering of what God says by letting the Spirit lead. We build each other up and exhort each other to holiness. We privately rebuke fallen brothers to restore them in a spirit of love. Now, it covers a multitude of sins. I know my brother has sinned. I go to him. I tell him he's sinned. I point to the Bible, and he accepts it. Do I then tell anybody? No, there's no point in it. He's been restored. There's no point in gossiping. So, charity is realizing that we all are sinners. We all need help. We all need to be exhorted. And we do exactly that. We make sure that people have the joy of Christ by having their lives repaired. Showing agape love, we need to remember what manner of man we were. Romans 5:8 says, Jesus died for us when we were yet sinners. As such, we need to show hospitality to others without grudging. Inside and outside the church to increase joy and to draw others to Jesus Christ. Willing to use your possessions for His glory. Willing to use your possessions to see God's eternal plan come to fruition and see people come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. God will give us the opportunity to show agape love regardless of where we find people wallowing. He'll bring us to the garbage pile where He wants us to go. He will empower us to do what He wants if we follow His will. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 13, starting in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. We need to be ready to help others, regardless of where they find them. Help Christian travelers. No, they get stuck here. We need to reach out and help them. He's getting the light right there. Ready to go to Tom's house to help bake a cake if we see a brother thrown in jail. And ready to help others in jail who haven't been saved yet. It says strangers. We need to be sure that we show Christ's love. He's going to put people in our lives to help. Remember Philip who went out to the Ethiopian there. Goes out, leading the greatest revival that they've ever seen. Samaria, people getting saved right and left. God says, okay, Philip, go out to Gaza. And the Bible says, oh, by the way, which is desert? You say, nobody lives there. Nobody. Why, God? The garbage pile is right here, and we're cleaning it all up. Why do you want me to go there? There might be a little bit of garbage there, but there's no one wallowing in it. Why do you want me to go there? Because I want you to, Philip. Go. He went. What happened? Ethiopian eunuch got saved. By tradition, I stress by tradition, an Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and started the Ethiopian Coptic Church. Millions got saved because of it. We don't know exactly why God puts people in our path. We don't know what's going to happen to the people God puts in our path. We are to show that fervent charity to them because God has a reason to put them there. And you have to be ready to show that fervent charity. And they're going to mock you. They're going to attack you because they don't know any better. But eventually, hopefully, by prayer, by proper understanding, they will come to salvation. All sinners are in Satan's jail of sin right now. We're still to show them hospitality. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. If you've been in the church very long, you've heard this verse a couple of times. So Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's our church. Now let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Does it say other Christians? Does it say better Christians? It says other. We're to esteem others better than ourselves. We're to understand our position in front of a holy God. I fall so far short, I'm amazed he even looks at me. So how can I then look down at a brother? Well, I'm better than you. Not in Jesus' eyes. I'm so low. But use this thing before, you know. I've done a lot of good works. I got a whole bunch of Legos. I'm going to stack my good works. Boy, I'm stacking. Look at all those works. Tom there, he's only got two or three. Doug, I barely got one. We got other people. God's put Legos there because he's getting ready to save them. Okay, so I'm looking at my big stack. That's pretty impressive, right? I'm so much better than you, Tom. Ha! God looking down from heaven straight down, what's he see? No difference at all in those piles. None. Now, we'll be judging our works based on what the grace he gave us. Philip, when he went out there, he said, say one person. Peter probably saved thousands. But he did what God told him to do, and his will was done. And we don't need to look down at others saying, well, I'm so much better than you. Because guess what? You were an enemy of God before he saved you. So don't view his other one as an enemy of God. View them as someone who is on that garbage pile who needs to be redeemed, just like you need to be redeemed, and go do what you can to do so. Jesus said in Luke 6:28, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Is that easy to do? No, it's not. You need to have the mind of Christ. You need to respond to the mind of Christ. You need to pray for his grace and his glory to do it. You show hospitality to them without grudging, and that is impossible to do if you don't have the mind of Christ. They don't have it, and they will notice it. They won't understand it, but they will notice it, and they will see something different in you. Let us compel those in the highways and hedges to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, using whatever gift he has given you to edify the body and to draw others to Jesus Christ. If all you can do, God has given me absolutely nothing. I have no money. I have no house. I have absolutely nothing. All I can do is give a cup of water to someone as he passes by. Matthew 10:42 says, if all you can do is give a cup of water to a little one, Jesus said, you will not lose your reward. He expects you to do based on what he's given you. Now, someone stutters a lot, can't talk. God didn't necessarily make him a preacher. God didn't necessarily make him a pastor. He gave me the ability to be a pastor. Hopefully, I'm doing a fairly good job of it. But that's the call he gave me. He doesn't expect everyone to be a pastor. If everyone was a pastor, who's going to be the sitting out there in the pews? Didn't give me the ability to sing very well, did he? But are we supposed to sing to glorify God? So he gave other people gifts to do that. He expects you to serve him with what he's given you, and you'll be judged based on that, not based on what he didn't give you. So understand that and do whatever you can. As a church, we need to put all our gifts together to glorify Jesus and compel the world off its garbage pile and into his banquet. Now, all this is worthless. Everything I've just said is absolutely worthless. We don't have a standard of truth to go by. Now, in John 18:38, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Truth was looking him right in the eyes, and Pilate didn't recognize it. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. As we seek to save people from the garbage pile, we must remember it's not cleansed worldly garbage that will save them. It's his word. That's the only thing that will save them. Tolerance of worldly ideas and bringing traditions of men may be easier. It may seem more acceptable to the people on that garbage pile, but it will not glorify Jesus Christ. It will not see people saved. To glorify Jesus, we need to see him saved by one thing and one thing only, his word. As Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We're stewards of his manifold grace. That's all we are. Everything I have is not mine. Everything I have is God's. He created everything. If you make something, it's yours. He created everything. So everything I have is God's, and I'm a steward of what he's given me. Stewards are bidden to go into the highways and hedges to compel people off the garbage pile into a supper. We saw that last week. Doing so, we must use his words because that's the instruction manual of how we live. Every job has a set of rules that we're supposed to follow. I'm a steward. I have a set of rules I'm supposed to follow. This is a set of rules I'm supposed to follow. So if we compromise, accommodate, or let people bring in garbage from their pile, people will stay with the garbage they know. They will let the bread of life go stale. They will try to flavor the living water with something in the world, and it will not do exactly what it says. Berea's lunches will not be merely It would not be nearly as full of his love. But you know, the modern church says this. Yeah, his word can offend the unsaved. His word can turn people out to the gospel because it's so hard. It's so harsh. And in this world, we don't want to offend people because it'll turn them off. It's not my niceness. It's not my tolerance. It's not my acceptance of them that will draw people from the garbage pile. It's his word that must be delivered for his glory. As Paul said in Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the naysayers. Ignore all the hard doctrines so that we can bring them into the church and then maybe they can learn after that. I didn't see that there. That was verse 42. I don't think it's there anymore. We don't water down the word. We don't try to make it so that people can accept the word by making it so it seems nicer. We give them the plain word of God, because the plain word of God is the only tool that will not return void. Use your own words. I've tried that. It returns void every single time. His word will convince the naysayers. My respectful repartee and beautiful language will leave them laughing, but it'll leave them also on the garbage pile. They won't come off. Let us speak as God gives us the ability. Now, I'm a pastor. Okay, as a pastor, I'm supposed to be able to explain complex doctrines. I'm supposed to be able to break down the Word of God and show others exactly what it means. I'm supposed to be able to show exactly what salvation is all about. Can a newly saved person do that? I lead someone brand new to Jesus Christ, and then I immediately ask them, explain to me the difference between the Reformation and dispensationalism in the church. You think they're going to do well with that? They give answers that they're capable of giving. As the blind man said when he was attacked by the Jews in John 9:25, they said he had to be a sinner. Don't you agree he's a sinner? This is what the blind man said. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. If your flesh is saved and that's all you know, I don't know the answers to what you're giving me. I can give you the answer. I can give you someone who might know these better. But if you're asking me, there's one thing I know. Yes, I was a hellbound sinner. I was doomed. Today I have joy because I know I'm going to heaven. If that's all you know, that's what God wants you to give because you've given a testimony to the power of Jesus Christ, and he will use that testimony to reach someone's heart and convert them if they're willing to be converted. Let us give people light that they may see. Then let us teach them that they may then give an answer. All of us must study to learn more that we may glorify Jesus more and more and compel more to come to the supper. So as you look at this, the world thinks it enjoys its garbage pile. It's all they know. They've lived there. They do the best they can on it. And they think they enjoy it. They wallow in it to try to fill the spiritual emptiness that is in their lives. And hating those who point out the sinfulness of their action. Hey, I enjoy what I'm doing. Who are you to judge me, right? Thereby attacking any to try to say they are sinful. They want to be righteous in their sin. And you're telling them they're not righteous. People don't like that. We do not run with the world because we think we're better than the world, but because we have found a better way. We've been rescued from that garbage pile. We recognize the stench. We are no longer nose blind to it. The world doesn't like it. They like their garbage. The world crucified their king. Think you won't suffer persecution? But suffering with him will be glorified with him if we follow him in spirit and truth. The world offers what it has. What it has is garbage, sin, and hopelessness. That's all it has. And it offers it to you. And the people drink it all up. As his followers, we offer what we have. The bread of life and living water, providing eternal life and joy. We are to compel people to come to the supper, using our different abilities, different skills, different physical blessings, all to God's glory, to be used as God empowers us, to allow God to then save people's hearts, to show that we all believe in God, trust in him, and he is the one that gave the increase. We glorify ourselves nothing in this. All we are is poor, worthless servants doing what was commanded. We are stewards of his manifold grace. This afternoon, we're going to discuss that stewardship with the jail ministry. I'll tell you right now, I have a jail ministry. Until we have a jail ministry, it will not be successful in Berea. We need to come together and discuss which highways, which hedges that God has called Berea to come to try to compel people to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. then we give him the glory for all seats he fills. We're not going to fill them. We go to the highway and hedges to compel them to come, but we don't fill those seats. They come, they see Jesus Christ, he converts their heart, and then they have their invitation. He will reward us for our labors, but he rewards only as we follow him in spirit and truth, doing what he does, realizing that I am nothing more than a beggar showing someone else where to find bread. That bread of life will save them, and it'll make it so they're never hungry again. Thank God he has brought salvation to Berea. Let us be living sacrifices, using his word, his way, his truth, and his blessings to bring salvation to Newport and Claremont. With that, we need to follow the title of that hymn, hymn number 475, Make Me a Blessing. Look at the first verse. You'll figure out real quick why I picked this song. A blessing? Do you want to be made a blessing? If you do, ask God to show you how. If you do, ask God to show you where the garbage pile he would send you is. Ask God to give you people that you may compel to come to the marriage supper. You can only do that if, first of all, you have a testimony. You act according to the Word. You live according to the Word. And when you fail, you ask forgiveness according to the Word. Then you have to have charity, putting shoe leather to the agape love that God's given you. And then you need to use truth. Not my way, not using wonderful words of life, but not my own wonderful words. Use this truth. If you do that, those who will be saved bring people to Christ will be saved. And you give God all the glory. So if you're willing to do that, come this afternoon, show us how. Show us how we need to make Berea, that place that calls people off the garbage pile, offers them the bread of life and living water, and then they can grow and do the same for others. And ask God how to be used in your own life. Ask God, how can I go to those places that are very uncomfortable, that will mock me, that are evil, horrible sinners, that I may go and show them love? Because guess what you were before you were saved? Same thing. So ask God for that. Ask God how this church can move forward. Ask God what we can do. And then after Rich plays a verse, I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look at a world in pity, wallowing in the garbage pile of sin, trying to make the best of it because it's all they know, trying to do what they can to try to make it through this life, hiding the spiritual emptiness in whatever they can in this world of sin. And Lord, we have pity because we were there too. We know what it's like, and we know the glories of being saved. We know the glories of being adopted as children of God. Let us, Lord, go into those highways. Let us go into those hedges. Let us show them that there is another way. Let us show them that with the bread of life, the living water, they can have eternal life with you. They can be adopted as sons of God. They can then have that joy that we have. And Lord, let us not look down on them because we were there. But let us, in love, lift them up. Let us show them your word. Let us compel them to come to meet you, that they may then bow their knees to you, and that you may gloriously save their hearts. Lord, how will they hear without a preacher, you ask in Romans. Lord, let us be those preachers. Let us bring forth your words that will not return void. Let us bring forth those words that will return unto you and do your will in their lives, in the lives of this church, in the lives of this world. Let us not care about the attacks. Let us not care about persecutions, but let us care about worshiping you in spirit and truth and drawing others to it. And give us the wisdom of how to move forward, Lord, not excusing sin, but showing how those sins can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.